Tonight we are in week two of series that we're calling No Regrets on Purity and Relationships. And tonight is really about how to approach when you like someone, dating, romantic relationships. And even if that's farther down the road for you than it is right now, it's not for all of us. And so we need to start thinking about it, and you'll see why. But to begin, I want to hear some really sage advice from our good friend Carl on dating. All right, here's Carl's advice for dating. Last week, we took these white, what are these, daisies? We took these white daisies and we put some food coloring in representing all the sin that we can get messed up in. And you can look at them later. And I took this picture yesterday and it's really hard to see in the picture, but they're speckled in blue streaks and dots. And from the bottom down, you can see it's starting to die from the bottom down. Yeah, the tips are blue. There's blue streaks. The dye is being absorbed by the flowers, and what they're taking in is actually changing them from the inside out. And so we talked about guarding our heart last week, how everything from our life overflows from our heart from the inside out. And so that's just a reminder that what we allow into our heart and life changes us. And it may be a slow process. You may not see it. It may not be super clear at first, but eventually it does. So have you ever jumped into a relationship that ended badly? I'm talking about those ones that like you didn't see coming. And it doesn't even have to be like dating. Maybe it's a friendship even. Like you were super close to someone and it just became toxic and it, you know, life can be unpredictable sometimes. That's kind of why relationships are mysterious. That's why James in the Bible in chapter 4, verse 14 of his book, James, says this. You don't know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. You know, if you have a bottle that sprays water and you spray it, you can see it just mist out and then like in a second it's gone. This is the description that James is talking about our life. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, but you can make tomorrow better by your choices today. And so hang on to that verse because it's going to be real important here in a little bit. But let me set up tonight by telling you this story. You know, when I was in high school, I accomplished something that is pretty hard to do. Maybe one day you'll want to accomplish this feat, and it's called getting out of the friend zone. You guys know what this is, the friend zone, this metaphorical place where you're just friends with someone, but you like them, and you want to like get out of the friend zone and get into the relationship zone. Well, I was in ninth grade when this girl started coming to our youth group, and we were good friends. We had a small youth group. So our whole middle school and high school, 7th through 12th grade, you know, was smaller than this group tonight. And so we did everything together. We hung out and did a lot of things together, and we were just all really close friends. So I was really good friends with her for 2 years. And then in 11th grade, I realized that I had some feelings for this girl, but we were friends. And that's awkward, right? But I asked her out. I took her out to see a movie. She said yes. I took her out to see a movie. It was the best date in the history of the world. I was immediately in love. This was the one, you know, that maybe you don't know that feeling. Hopefully you don't know that feeling. But I was in love with this girl. And the next day, she immediately friend-zoned me again when she broke up with me and told me that she just wanted to be friends. Now, it broke my heart, but if you've heard this story before, you know that I got the last laugh because I had to wait 7 years. It's kind of biblical, right? But I waited 7 years. I asked her out again after college, and my wife Ashley and I have been married now for 16 years. And so that was my wife. We went out on one date in high school. She broke up with me promptly, and I liked other people, but I waited 7 years, and you know, I got her in the end. But, no, I had a friend in high school that was going out with someone. He had heard a rumor that she kissed someone else. And so he talked to her about it and said, what's the story that you kissed someone else? And she said, but it wasn't cheating. It's National Kiss Week. Seriously, this is what she told him. Now, no, oh yeah, he dumped her fast. But I first heard this term about that girl, and the term I'm talking about is serial dating. Now, serial, not like Captain Crunch or Cinnamon Toast Crunch, serial, you know, like you've heard of serial killer. It's a killer that is has a compulsive desire to kill over and over again. They have to fulfill themselves by the act of killing. So they're a serial killer over and over again. And serial dating is the same way. And so many people practice this, where they date multiple people a year, you know, within a year's span. Maybe, I mean, it might just be one at a time, but they just bounce. They never go a few weeks without being single. They're always talking about someone else. They go after whatever they want without consideration for what other people want. They always have to have a boyfriend or girlfriend. And a lot of times they date to fill the void in their heart. They can't find self-worth without a boyfriend or girlfriend. So they find their value in the person they're attached to. Not only is serial dating and that practice unhealthy for your life today, I mean, it totally derails and distracts you from God's purpose today, but it creates larger problems in the future. So a person who doesn't deal with their own identity in Christ and get that grounded right now and finds worth in other people, bouncing from one person to another in romantic relationships, that person, let's just be honest, they're more likely to cheat on their future spouse. They're more likely to destroy their marriage. They're more likely to carry that habit into every future relationship that they have. And so here is the big idea with that in mind. The big idea is this: how you date affects who you become. It's not too early to be thinking about this. How you date affects who you become. So what kind of person should we date? Well, to be honest, that's the wrong question. That's actually a destructive way to look at dating. Who should I date? If that's where we start, then we need to change the question of who we date to what it says up here. How should I date? How should we date other people? The answer to this question will always filter out the who. The how is more important than the who. So how should we date? Well, remember what James mentioned earlier, that you don't know what tomorrow will bring. God says, your life is limited, guys. Therefore, we've got to make every day, every decision count for something. We've got to live as if it can change our future. We've got to live as if what you do and the thoughts you have, the words you say, the decisions you make today, especially in the realm of purity and relationships and the people you like, live as if every decision and action can affect your future, because in fact, it can. That's why this is so important. And so if we dated with the future in mind, if we liked people and interacted with people with the future in mind, how would it change? What if we approach relationships differently? What if even how we thought about romantic relationships changed in order that we would most honor God and most pursue and guard our purity? What does that look like? Because like I said, the bad habits we have now create a pattern for your future. Depending on how you date now, if you're pursuing dating, you can build a stronger marriage potentially down the road right now, today, this week, this month, this year. You can set yourself up for a better relationship with your spouse, a better relationship with your God. And so here's God's advice. 2 Timothy 2:22 says this: so flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Just like last week, we see that when we run from or turn from or guard our heart from the wrong things, there's always the right things that we can turn to. When we flee the youthful passions and temptations and everything the world's screaming at us, we can run to something greater. It's not because we're not saying relationships are bad. Dating is wrong. You know, it's a sin to be attracted to people. It's just that God's design is better. God has something greater and better, a more beautiful, a deeper, more meaningful purpose for your life right now, which will make when the attraction and the relationship and the commitment and the potential marriage one day all the more stronger and better down the road. And so every decision you make now needs to have the future in mind, because the future is worth guarding. So when you think about someone you like, here's a good question to ask. Would going out with this person make me more holy? That sounds like a really goody-goody question to ask, but it's true. If that's your goal, to be more holy, I hope that's your goal, to be more like Jesus, to have a closer walk with him, then that's a question you can ask. Would being with that person make me more holy? If a relationship brings temptation and distraction to your relationship with God, then that's not a relationship you should be in. It's not a romantic relationship you should be in. And so here's the question most people ask when it comes to when they like someone: does that person make me happy? That's not the right question. What we should be asking ourselves is, that person make us whole? Does that person make us holy? Because God's purpose for us is not to just be happy all the time. His purpose for us is to be holy. And so are we focusing our thoughts on that? Are we using our actions towards that? Are the relationships we have helping that? And so here's the first point before you jump into your discussion time. And I guess I don't have a slide for this, but I'll say it. You got number one, it's this: pursue holiness instead of happiness. When it comes to your viewpoint on relationships and dating and when it's the right time and if you should date and how you should date, it all comes down to that. God wants you to pursue holiness above happiness, because how you date affects who you become. So I'll put 7 minutes on the clock. You guys talk amongst yourself around your table. You've got some questions to guide the discussion, and let's see what God brings to the table as you talk through these points. Go for it. Well, you guys can pick up that discussion here in just a few minutes, but let's jump into part two of this week. So you guys all know what this game is, right? Jenga. Now, there's a big principle in Jenga, which is the same principle of life, that the foundation is really important, right? As you start building these foundation, the base layer are the decisions of our life, you know, who you like and the words you use and how you treat your parents, the movies you watch, the music you listen to, and what you look at on the computer, and the time you spend with God and the thoughts that you dwell on and the relationships that you have. It's the everyday decisions that go into building the foundation of your life. And so as you begin to build up what you did in the everyday decisions to build the foundation becomes really, really important. And you know, in the game, you start pulling pieces out, right? And when we start pulling out the foundational pieces of our life and our faith, our life starts to get wobbly, and you might be able to get one out and no one knows the difference, and you pull one here, you know, and maybe these represent sin. You know, when sin creeps in and starts pulling out those foundational pieces of your life that God wants for you, it begins to affect your future, which are these upper layers. As your life goes on and you get older, you're building these new layers to your life. But what your foundation had at the beginning, which, guess what, guys, you're building your foundation right now. And so what you're building right now is going to affect all these layers that have yet to be added to your life. And some of these involve potential marriage, family, job. And so as you start to pull these foundational things out, or even not include them in the first place, you're setting yourself up for a disaster. It's like the wise man who built his house upon the what? Rock. When the winds came and the storms came, his house stood firm, his life stood firm, but the man that built it on the sand, guess what? He didn't have a firm foundation, and even with just a few pieces not in the right place, your life can come crashing down pretty hard. But the good news is that the beautiful thing about integrity, we talked about integrity last week, is that integrity can be rebuilt with the right foundation. So even if you've already had a crash in your life, even if you've already messed up, even if you've already failed in your purity and some of those foundational pieces have been stripped away and you've given in to sin and you don't know if God will forgive you, the answer is he absolutely will. He loves you, and you can rebuild your purity. You can rebuild your integrity, and you can do it in a moment because Jesus died on the cross for those sins. And all it takes is for you to call out to him, to be forgiven, to be set free, and to have a new life in him. The Bible says as soon as you do that, the old you has gone, the new has come, and you can do that every day as you pursue him and begin building that foundation again. That's why I say how you date now affects who you will become. That doesn't just include who you choose to date, but how you date. How you handle temptation, how you handle conflict, how you interact with each other. Maybe you don't fight fair, and maybe you manipulate people, maybe you avoid conflict, maybe you're already in a pattern of sin, allowing your eyes to linger on things that it shouldn't, getting caught up in the wrong movies or music, hanging out with the friends that are driving you away from God, impure thoughts, the list goes on, and you know what they are. Those patterns of sin, not dealt with, will disrupt your foundation down the road. And so how you deal with them now will absolutely affect what your life is like. I say this all the time, you hear it every year, purity now paves the way for intimacy later. Purity now in your life paves the way for intimacy later. Intimacy in your relationship with God, intimacy in close friendships that you have. And when it comes to relationships, romantic relationships, purity now paves the way for intimacy in your marriage where there's nothing being held back. There's no secrets. There's, there's not as much baggage, surely, as there could have been. Purity now is the way to do that. And so, Song of Solomon. We go to Song of Solomon for lots of romantic stuff, right? So Song of Solomon 2, I'm actually going to set this up with a few extra verses before I hit what's on the screen. This is kind of just, this book is just symbolic of a loving romantic relationship between a man and woman that become husband and wife. And in chapter 2, verse 13, it says this. The fig tree ripens its figs. The vines are in blossom. They give forth fragrance. Arise, my love, my beautiful one, and come away. Oh, my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the crannies of the cliff, let me see your face. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet. Your face is lovely. And then verse 15 says this. Catch the little fox, catch the foxes for us, the little foxes that spoil the vineyards, for our vineyards are in blossom. Now, without some explanation, we don't know what's going on here, but it's symbolic, like I said. So this vineyard that they're talking about is symbolic of their relationship. Their vineyard is in full blossom. Everything is looking great. The fruit is growing. I mean, maybe you've had those moments in relationships, whether it's romantic or friendships, where it's just everything is good, and it's growing, and it's healthy, and it's enjoyable. And he's saying, right now is the time to be on guard, though, because when everything is good and growing and healthy and there's fruit and it's nice, that's when the foxes and the predators are going to want to come in and rob what's good and eat the fruit and destroy the vines and leave this vineyard in shambles. And you know what he, notice what he said? So he challenges her to catch the foxes for us, to stop them from coming in this vineyard. But then he says what? The little foxes that spoil the vineyard. And so here's point number one, two. Point number one was to pursue holiness over happiness. But here's the point I want you to remember, this phrase that you can just remind yourself over and over again because it will set you up. This is how you have purity now to help you have intimacy later. It's this. You catch the small foxes. You catch the small foxes. You know, a vineyard planter or a farmer or whatever may not be so concerned about the giant predators out there because they're going to be few and far between. He can deal with the mess that they make, but it's the little things. It's the little things that can sneak in undetected that can totally uproot a system of crops and destroy the whole thing. That's why he says, the little foxes are what comes and destroys the vineyard. Catch them, stop them, guard them, guard our vineyard from them. And it's the same with our life. It's the little things that tempt us and the little things that cause us to sin. So we've got to guard from those little things, especially when it comes to relationships. Maybe you're in a relationship right now. The little things are what can take your attention away from God and be placed on that other person. It's the little things that will cause a little temptation to grip your heart. And, you know, when you get off course, if you're on a trip, most of the time it's not a U-turn, right? Most of the time, you're not lost by going the exact opposite direction of where you want to go. Most of the time, you get lost because you make one wrong turn. And instead of going this way, now you're going this way. And it may take a long time before you realize how far you've gotten off course, but it's just those little decisions that you pull out one at a time that change things. And so catch the small foxes. So let's kind of wrap this up, because you're probably thinking, maybe you're thinking, I'm too young to start thinking about this. Like, my parents won't even let me date. Why are we talking about this? Well, it's because of this. Growing older doesn't mean you stop making mistakes. It means the mistakes keep getting worse. The mistakes keep getting worse as you get older. So you're never too young to start building a foundation for down the road. I know this. When I was in high school and college, I used to think, I cannot wait until I get married, because then I won't have to deal with all this like lust and temptation. I'll be married, right? Like, that won't be an issue anymore. Guys, let me tell you, that's a bunch of crap. That's not how life works. If anything, it gets harder, because the older you get, the mistakes keep getting worse. And so deal with the small foxes now, because the little mistakes just grow over time. And the little things that you allow in your life now are only going to get bigger and bigger, which means they're going to get worse and worse if you don't deal with them. And guard your purity and guard your relationships now. And so 1 Timothy 4:12 puts it this way: because you are young, but let no one despise you for your youth. Instead, we're called to set the believers an example. So you be the examples to our church in how you talk, in how you act, and how you love in faith and in purity. That's what Timothy is challenging you as middle schoolers to be. Don't think you're too young for this. Don't think you have your life ahead of you. But right now, choose to be the example, to be the shining light of Christ in how you think, how you act, how you speak, in your faith and in your purity. Because how you date, how you approach relationships, how you even think about romance right now affects who you become down the road. So last week we talked about how if you don't work on your heart, it will work against you. That's purity. And so are you in control of your heart? Romans 12:2 says this: don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Two huge words. Don't be conformed. It's your last two blanks on your page. But be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And so, are you kind of like these flowers where you're just soaking up all that the world has to offer, which in turn is changing you from the inside out, changing who God created you to be? Or are you transforming yourself into the man, guys, or the woman, ladies, that God wants you to be and has designed you to be, through purity and patience, waiting on his timing, not letting anything distract you for what he has in store for you, setting up a good, solid foundation so that down the road, your life and your marriage will be awesome. That's what God desires, and it's what I want for you. So let me pray for you, and then, I spent a lot of time tonight, guys, but you got time to talk over this next discussion question. Thanks for your attention. That was a longer message than I thought it would be, but good stuff. So let me pray, and then you jump into your last discussion time. God, we thank you for this chance at purity. We thank you for this chance at repentance when we do it wrong. And we pray right now tonight we would choose once and for all to follow you. Help us to guard our heart, to catch the little things that want to sneak in and rob our purity. Help us to be patient, waiting on you, not being distracted by things of the world and relationships and temptation. But we pray that we would pursue holiness above all, even our own happiness. God, we pray that in this last discussion time, you'd speak to these students, that you would bring things to mind that challenge them and encourage them and set them on course to live this out this week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Jump on into your last talk, guys.